Father, to sit at your feet. We ask you to bless those who are traveling on the way right now, God. Thank you for those who are here. Father, we want to ask you to be with the apostle and his family and the apostolic team as they're traveling right now, Father. We ask you to just cover them with the blood of Jesus. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to start before we get into something new. I just want to go over a few things went over last week that I thought was pretty good. You know, one of our foundation scriptures was 1 Peter 3 and 7, where at the end of that scripture we talk about how that your prayer should not be hindered, right? Alright. We found out that prayer is not a hard requirement, that it is a natural duty of a creature to its creator. The simplest homage that a human need can pay to a divine liberty. In other words, we talked about how that's the least we can do, is to give homage, to pray, to worship, thank God for our creation. I mean, he is our creator. What better thing can you do when you wake up in the morning just to thank your creator? The one that gives you life. The one that gives you breath. That's an awesome privilege. Alright? We also saw that those who do not pray, prayer is a most precious thing, for it is the channel by which Christ's blessings come to them and the window through which their needs are supplied by a gracious God. There are certain things that you are not going to receive from God unless you are praying. And I'm talking about literally getting in the presence of God, talking to God, seeking His face. Just a few notes I want to go back over. One of the most powerful things I realized was, and I want this generation to get back under, I want them to get back to this, the house in which there is no kind of prayer can hardly expect the divine blessing. I thought that was so powerful. You can't expect God to do something miraculous with your children, your grandchildren, or with your marriage, if you're not a house that prays. Impossible. Alright? Let's go ahead and start tonight we're going to look at steps to answer prayer. Steps to answer prayer. You know when we pray, we want to answer, right? We don't want to just pray to be praying. We're expecting God to answer what we are praying for. The first step to answer prayer is to be specific and stand on God's promises. When we pray, when you see God, you have to be specific with God. Stay specific. The Bible says a double-minded man don't even think he can get anything because your wavers too much. So don't go to God. Use this for example. Don't hold me to it. But don't go to God believing for a Cadillac instead of for a Pinto. For lack of a better word. You have to be specific with God to let God know, this is what I believe, this is what I want, and I'm going to stand on this thing until I get it. You know, and I think one of the greatest tragedies for marriages, both men and women, if you have standards, don't lower those standards. Be specific. If you're specific with God, I'm just throwing it out there. If you want to make $100,000 a year, and it's been 7 years, keep waiting. If that's what you want. Because if you back off that thing, you're going to settle for less. Now you're going to wish you never got in a situation where you want to drop your standards. Stay specific with God on what you need or what you're looking for. Watch this. Decide what you want from God's word and meditate on that scripture that relates to that promise until your heart becomes established on it. Whenever the desire that you want from God, that you want to seek from God, find a scripture that backs up what you need. I'm talking about, if you pay attention to the apostle, he is a master at this. When the apostle gets hold to a certain series, you hear, I can hear now, I'm having a scripture on all that. he wants to know, if he's studying worship, I want to know every scripture that deals with worship, finding every book that deals with worship. You understand? Because you have to be able to have that scripture to stand on what you believe in God for. So, decide what you want from God's word and meditate on that scripture that relates to that promise until your heart becomes established on it. This is what baffles me.
He said, watch this. Speak the word of God when the enemy attacks you. Too many times, we back off when the enemy attacks. That's not the time to back off. That's the time now that you begin to speak the word, watch it here, that's supposed to be established in your heart. See, once the word of God is established in your heart, when the enemy now attacks, remember I told you, meditate on that scripture? So now when you meditate on that scripture and become established in your heart, when the enemy now does attack, the Bible says the Holy Ghost now can recall it to your remembrance. So if there's nothing that you have meditated on or that's in your spirit, what are you going to call up? Stand and fight for what God has promised you in His Word. You know the Bible says, speak the word only. I like that. All right, let's do subtitles here. Subtitles. The first step, be specific in your prayers. Decide what you want to receive from God. When you go into prayer, go in, before you wait, decide what you want from Him. What is it? What is it that you want? What are you seeking? What is it? What's that desire in your heart? See, you have to decide, because if you're not careful, you go, if you get into prayer, then you start bouncing all over the wall. That's why you got to have scripture. That's why you got to be specific and decide what it is you want from God. Now, this may sound real simple or minute, but very powerful. Write down what you're praying for in specific terms. Write it down. See, I caught this a couple weeks ago when I heard the apostle say him and Miss Carolyn years ago would write their petitions down before God. And they are silent. See, it doesn't, the scripture says, write the vision, make it plain. Don't just stop there. Write down what you believe in God for. Show God how serious you are about it. Put it on the refrigerator. Put it in the mirror when you get the morning, brush your teeth in the morning, you can just see it. Get off of your spirit. Put in your iPhone, set the alarm when your lawn water, the first thing you see. I'm telling you, I have on my lawn, when I wake me up with the lawn, God wake me up, but the lawn make that noise. But I'm on my phone, when it goes off in the morning, I think that one of the scriptures I had, not scripture, but statement said, Lord, I thank you for talking to me today. So when it goes off, it's the first thing I see. Listen, write down what you're praying for in specific terms. Is it healing? Find healing scriptures. Is it deliverance? Find deliverance scriptures. Is it financial? Well, you said that's a problem. You got all the scriptures you need here. It's about finances. You understand? See, always find that supporting scripture. Always find it. Pray the word of God concerning that particular promise. So now when you pray, you're going into prayer with that scripture, and you're praying, watch this, the word of God concerning that promise. See, you can't go in and just say, Lord, I ask you to just bless me with this promotion, God. I want to increase in my finances, Lord. That's good, but what scripture do you have to take to God to promote what you're praying for? Lord, I thank you. I'm believing God for this promotion. Because you said, Father, you will increase me and my children more and more. You understand what I'm saying? So find that scripture that backs you up. You must have the word of God on the subject, watch this here, before you can have faith to receive it. You got to get the word on that subject before you can even have faith to receive it. What we try to do is, we try to take a word, or we try to have faith, and then take the word to match our faith. No. You must have the word of God first on the subject before you can have faith to receive it. And that's very vital, because many times what happens is, and I learned this the hard way. Thank God for lessons. I cannot, I'm going through something. Dealing with my family. All right? And the woman of God, that man of God, I'm talking to them, and they have prayed a certain scripture when they dealt with something similar. Well, I have to be very sensitive to the Spirit, because that was the word of Scripture God gave him. He didn't give it to me. So I have to search the Scripture and allow the Holy Spirit now to give me the Scripture that I need, Lord have mercy, to match my situation. And now once I've gotten that Scripture, there's going to be a boldness or a confidence around me, because I know that's the one. All right? The will of God is the word of God. Faith begins, watch this, where the will of God is known. Faith begins where the will of God is known. So what is the will of God? It's in the word of God. Many people are not confident about what they're praying for, because they really don't know if it's in the word or not. I'm telling you. The example God gave me while I was reading and studying this about people not knowing what's in the word and just start saying crazy stuff. They have, you know, I own a barbershop and salon. They have some men who will refuse to allow a woman to cut their hair straight. All right? Y'all, some of y'all know I'm going. Because I say, man, look, we got some girls in the back. We've been busy, but they know how to save. Or they can give you a line right quick. That's what you need. Oh, no, man. Ain't another woman in my head. You know what the Bible says about sex? Don't let a woman cut your hair. it was a woman that cut Stephanie's hair. He lost his strength. First of all, you don't know what's in the word. It was the men that cut Stephanie's hair. She just found the secret. See, a lot of times people get so caught up because they really don't know what the word really says. So I gave you that example because some people do that when it comes to praying. They'll start praying things and saying words that's not in the Bible. And I told you, God can only back up what's in his word. So you can be on your face, on your knees for an hour saying things that God won't even hear. Because he's only able to respond to what he put in his word. If you don't have the word of God on the subject, you won't be able to have the confidence for it when you pray. Allow your heart to become fixed and established on a scripture that relates to the problem. Allow your heart to become fixed and established on the scripture that relates to the problem. You become established on the promise, watch it here, by simply meditating on the word of God. You become established on the promise by meditating on the word of God. Now watch what meditation means. It means to mutter, to ponder, or to consider something. To mutter, or ponder, or consider something. Remember Joshua 1:8, the Bible says, meditate on the word of God, then he says, make your way prosperous. You remember that? See, I like using an example sometimes. What happens is, we meditate everything but the word of God. To mutter, to ponder, or to consider something. In other words, I mean, when I was younger, I meditated, but it wasn't on the word of God. Come on now. You know. I'm going to get her number. How I'm going to do that? You start to ponder. Meditate. Think. Come on now. When you try to run game or in the street, try to do all kinds of hustle people. How can I get this? How can I go around it? People on your job. How can I get out of doing this job? All right, okay, it's going to be. She asked a question to me. Let me repeat the statement. I said that because the internet team can't hear what you said. I said, allow your heart to become fixed and established on the scripture that relates to the promise. I like this next statement. Meditate on the scripture until it becomes more real to you than your situation or circumstance. In other words, you meditate on that scripture so much that you forget you even go through a situation. Because the word of God has become more real to you now than that situation that you're in. That's powerful, man. If you can get to the word of God that deep, that when you go through, that you just ponder, meditate on that word, and get established in it, you know, some people wait to forget their problems. But it's still there. But we as men and women of God, if we meditate and come through in that word, you think of that, but it's not. Because spiritually, it's really gone. When the word of God becomes fixed inside your heart, the devil won't be able to steal it from you. So what's happening with our prayers? What's called circling? Doubt and fear. Doubt and fear. Those two things will short-circuit your prayer. That's why I'm telling you, you have to get your heart fixed and established on that scripture, because the enemy will always try to bring doubt and fear. He'll try to choke that word that you have gotten. I'm telling you, you ever noticed how you can have the most awesome service and you got a good word, but as soon as you get in the car, like, all hell break loose. Wow, I mean, everything was good. Now you're talking about where you going yet. We made that place last week. Something crazy. What's the deal? Because what the enemy wants to do now is start circuit that word that you just got. Oh, man. He wants to now make you doubt that thing ain't work. What possibly mean that he just said that to make you feel good? That wasn't real. You broke. I don't care if you have a seed. That's what he wants to tell you. Because if you're not careful, I'm telling you, if you're not careful, you will sow or you'll get that last seed. And now, if you're not careful, fear and doubt will try to set in now. And if it set in, it just starts searching the prayer that you believe in God for. And God says now, because you did the first things right, but because fear and doubt came in now, I feel God got to take my hands off of it. Watch this. Feed your spirit with the word of God so that you can successfully withstand the attacks of Satan against your prayers. Feed your spirit with the word of God so that you can successfully withstand the attacks of Satan against your prayers. What keeps your physical body nourished? Food. So in order to, like when you're working out, if you work out too much, which hey, Lord Jesus, I'm thinking about something. It's a science to this thing. It's hard, man. I just, in 1 minute, when I was working out and I was trying to lose weight, then I wasn't losing weight. Doctor was saying, you ain't eating enough. I'm thinking, how am I not losing weight if I'm not eating enough? So then, when I was working out, I was eating. Then today, eating too many calories. See, there's a science to this thing where it's impossible to gain muscle and lose weight at the same time. There's the thing called spread. First, you got to lose weight, then bulk up. You can't do both at the same time, all right? So it takes food to do what? Nourish the body. So if you want to keep the body full of strength, you got to have protein. You want to have energy, drink plenty of water. Don't drink sugar, because sugar will bring you what? Down. So you got to put the right food in your body to give you the right what? Nourishment. All right? Well, just like the physical body needs nourishment, watch this here. Your spirit needs nourishment. So I got a question. I ain't going to look at you. I was asking a question. Look down at my feet. I know you feed your body good, because I can see you. But question, how well do you feed your spirit, man? What you feed? You keep this man? What you give him junk food like gossip? Give him sugar called doubt? What you getting him? Oh, you getting some protein of the Word of God? Or you getting some meat? What you giving him? Or you may be a vegan. I don't know. Eating tofu. I don't know. All right. Man does not survive on natural food alone, but on spiritual food as well. All right? We got that, right? All right. When Jesus was attacked by the enemy, he declared what is written in the Word. You will defeat Satan by using the weapon of God's word. See, this is the spiritual term. This is a war. This is spiritual warfare. So in other words, there are weapons that you have that you can defeat the enemy with. But if you don't know what kind of weapon you have, you're in trouble. See, you can't. You just can't go to war and not know what you got. So they got all kinds of stuff when the guys go to war, they know they can use it. They got handguns, they got compasses, they got water bottles, and they got all kinds of stuff. But if you don't know what it's for, you're going to die. You can have all your equipment on your little backpack. If you don't know how to use it, you're gone. All right? So what we have to do is speak what is written. Fight the good fight of faith in order to gain victory. The good fight is a fight you win. When you nourish your spirit with the word, you will have victory over demonic forces. Fight for the promises of God. What I said? Fight for the promises of God. The Bible says the promises of God are what? Yea and amen. It may not have arrived yet. It may not have filled up. But you got to continue to fight. You got to continue to seek after God and not let go of God until you have received what God said belonged to you. Stand on the word and refuse to be moved by outward circumstances. When you meditate on the word and it becomes fixed in your heart, it will change your situation and your circumstances. All right? Let's go to step number two. Step number two. The second step and third step to receive and answer prayer are to be positive in your thinking and guard your mind against every thought that doesn't support what you believe in God for. I'm going to say it again because you're going to see this again. The second and third step to receiving answered prayer are to be positive in your thinking. We're going to back it up in scripture. And to guard your mind against every thought that does not support what you believe in God for. Let every thought and every desire affirm that you have what you ask for. It again. Let every thought and every desire affirm that you have what you ask for. Never permit a thought of fear to exist in your mind. Don't ever think for one moment that you have failed. Don't ever think God not going to come through. You can never allow that thought in. If you allow that thought in, you have just allow spiritual abortion to take place. You have just aborted that thing God was trying to birth in you. God Almighty. Remember that doubt is fear-based. It is Satan's job to always get you to try to second-guess yourself. feed your faith and starve your doubts by meditating on God's word concerning your specific prayer request. Feed your faith and starve your doubts. Then doubts start rising up in you? Well, so let's go back to that food. Said y'all eating food. It's like you may be laying in bed at night, it's late, you ain't gotta go to work, it's Friday night. And you just take some ice cream. Oh, I want some Reese's Pieces of Buttercups or something. So you feel like I just wanna put you ain't hungry, you know, I just wanna munch on something. So what you do is you feed it, the appetite. You know, you give it a little something to try to crave that appetite. You understand? Well, that's what we're going to do. You say, feed your faith and starve your doubts. So now when doubts start to rise, that little hunger pain, feed it the word of God. Oh, man. Feed it the word of God when you start feeling fear. When you start feeling doubt. Pop one of the prophecy messages in that you're dealing with. I don't know what it is. You might want to just worship it. Just put a worship CD in. Do something. Go to the archives. You know, something going on in the house. Just cut the Roku box on. Just let it play while you clean the house. Feed your faith. Be submitted to God as you stand in the faith of your prayer to be answered. Stand firm against the devil. And he will flee from you. You know, that's James 4 and 7. You got to stand firm. He will flee. How you got to stand? But how you going to stand firm if you don't know what you're standing firm on? You cannot stand if you don't know the word of God. 1 Peter 5 and 8 for your note purpose. 1 Peter 5 and 8 says, be sober in your thinking. Be sober in your thinking. When you think soberly, your thinking is not intoxicated or under the influence of Satan and the flesh. God, don't. When you think soberly, your thinking is not intoxicated or under the influence of Satan and your flesh. When a person is intoxicated or what we call inebriated, they are literally out their mind. They don't know what they're doing. They've been taken over by another spirit. That's why they call alcohol spirit. Alright? So when you think soberly, your thinking is not intoxicated. See, that's why you gotta have sober thinking. I'll never forget one of the first calls they ever had in law enforcement was an intoxicated man. And he was sitting at the red light. Car in park, pulling the gas, driving, but going nowhere. And the only reason why we came was people called, said, man, car was smoking. He was sitting in the car, just, put on the gas. And he looked at us, how you running with the car? I'm serious. He was that intoxicated. So we had to literally kill the car, get him out. So when you're intoxicated like that, you out your mind. When you have doubt and fear inside of you, you're intoxicated by the devil. You out your mind. You're not thinking sober. You can't make the right decision because you're being guided by your flesh. Don't set your affection on earthly things. Set your mind on things of God and the Word. Colossians 3 and 2. You must eradicate every image, suggestion, feeling, and all thoughts that do not affirm the answer to your prayer. You must eradicate every image, suggestion, feeling, and all thoughts that do not affirm the answer to your prayer. The enemy will try to do all kind of crazy things to get you off track. He'll start reminding you, well, you know, your mama didn't do it. Your friends try to do the same thing. Why you believe in God for that? Don't nobody believe you no way. That's crazy. That costs too much. That's too hard to do. How you think you're going to do that? Nobody in your family ever did it before. Why you think you that smart? You didn't finish school. Why are you applying? He'll put all kind of crazy thoughts in your mind. So you must eradicate every image. They got certain things. You be dealing with something, and they'll show old crazy TV, so you watch it. I'm going through the same thing. You keep watching all that old crazy stuff sometimes. You go through marriage problems, and the worst thing you do is you go through a relationship problem. You cannot watch Tyler Perry. You cannot watch Talbert. He my man, not your man. Play. You can't watch that fool. Eradicate every image.
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you, you cannot allow no image, no fault when you believe in God for something in your plan to get in there because the enemy will try to distract you. You know, you believe in God for a good man, and you won't go watch single women. I don't think you can see it. You must eradicate every image, suggestion, and feeling thought that you have affirmed the answer to your prayer. That's all I'm trying to get you to see. I ain't talking about nobody now, you know. I'm just saying. You know. But I'm serious, though. Yeah, you heard the prophet a couple weeks ago. And see, I listen. I say it sometimes like I ain't listening, but I'm listening. He say, yeah, sometimes he say, son, I walk out with commercials. I cut the commercials off. I say, oh, what? I say, oh, I got that, Lord. I'm trying to lose weight and exercise. And after that Burger King commercial, I can smell Burger King. Come back to me. I'm saying, I can, ooh, Lord, geez, that wife is sure look good. No, I need to go walk back. I'm serious. I got to go walk back because that's what I was dealing with. You may be dealing with something else, whatever it is, cut it off. You must eradicate every image, suggestion, feeling, and all thoughts that do not affirm the answer to your prayer. The third step in seeing the answer to your prayer is to guard your mind. Guard your mind against every evil thought. Against what? Some thoughts. Every evil thought. Thoughts that are generated by observations and associations and teaching. Be mindful of those who you listen to and to where your teaching of God, the Word of God, is concerned. Because not all churches teach the uncompromised Word of God. See, one of the things I've learned, especially when it comes to ministry, and it's just me. When I was like that back in the gap. If I'm with you, I'm with you. You know what I'm saying? I'm with you. If we roll the hood, it's our hood, it's how it is. I ain't rolling nobody else's hood, it's my hood. Well, I'm like that with the pop. This is my hood. This my street. You know what I'm saying? So I don't have time to try to get caught up listening to nobody else. Because what's going to happen is, eventually, something's going to butt heads. And now, you're going to try to make me make a choice, and I'm going to tell you, you're going to lose. So the best thing for me to do is to stay in my camp and not come over in your camp. So we all friends now. See, because the statement was here, he said, you cannot, not all churches teach the uncompromised Word of God. And what I noticed is many people will get confused about success or what looks like success. So because you see a church or a pastor with a whole lot of people, you automatically assume he's teaching the Word of God. They got it going on over there, boy. Woo! Well, I learned something from Jesus with that. You have to be careful with that because what looks like success is not always success. Sometimes it's just a lot of people. And I know some big churches, and I try to I tried listening to them, and they ain't saying nothing. I'm talking about nothing. So, God told me, he said, you have to be careful because don't get caught in, you can't get caught, what's the word? You cannot get caught with something like, with something like it's progressing, don't get caught up in that. Jesus proved the scripture. Because one of the things Satan told Jesus, said, okay, look, if you son of God, turn this bread, give me the stones in the bread. Remember that? Then he told him, he said, if you son of God, say, jump down off this mountain, and your feet won't hit the ground, the angels gonna catch you. But then he said something at the end. He said, Jesus, you, bro. Set up here with me. Look what Satan said. Look at all these kingdoms. They mine. He said, work it, I'll let you have it. So, in other words, he has some serious stuff. But stuff don't mean success. Sometimes what you may be looking at may belong to Satan. I ain't it. Stay away from all places and things that do not support the affirmation of what you believe to receive in prayer. You got it? All right. We get to step 3. Be positive in your thinking and never doubt that you have an answer to your prayer. Keep your thinking in line with God's word. I know it sounds repetitive, but we got to keep going. Keep your thinking aligned with God's word. Be positive about your prayer coming to pass. See it coming to pass. Lord, man, after you prayed about it, see how good it's going to be when you finally have it. Hallelujah, Jesus. Think about sometimes I think about something and I want God to do something. I think about, oh, Lord, I'm going to hit it like this when it happens. I'm doing it there. Like, you say, you got to see yourself, man. You got to see yourself with that victory. Knowing how you're going to look when it happens. I think I'm going to take my wife out. We're going to go over here to eat when it happens. See, go ahead and start getting the celebration dinner together, man. Go ahead and start. See, we fought this thing too hard, and it finally comes through. Go ahead and start planning for the vacation that we're going to take after fighting this situation. Man, I love it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let every thought, action, and emotion affirm that you have what you have prayed for. Don't allow doubt and fear to enter your mind. All right? Keep your mind on the answer. What is it? Keep your mind on the answer. Keep your mind on the answer. Keep your mind on the word. Keep your mind. I hear something. I hear a song. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on the Lord. See, in other words, I'm keeping my mind on God's word. I'm keeping my mind on my victory. I'm keeping my mind on the cross where my victory is. Yeah. That's why I say I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Where was Jesus at? On the cross. Listen, when you keep your mind on the word of God, you eliminate fear. The word will anchor you when fear arises. Without the word, you won't have anything to anchor you, and you will be more likely to respond to your emotions. If you're not anchored in the word of God, as we said earlier when we started James, a double-minded man, unstable. You see that? So you have to be anchored in the word of God, because if you're not anchored, when Satan starts throwing his darts at you, you're going to start getting scared now. You're going to start getting worried. So you have to be anchored. There were the other folks. Our soul has been anchored. Yeah, I'm in all the old souls. When doubt arises, most likely it was because you have taken your mind off the word of God. If doubt begins, it's because you have taken your mind off the word of God, you've taken your thoughts off of God, and now got caught up in your emotions. Now you're scared. And the Bible says God has not given us the spirit of, but of love, power, and what? Sound mind. So what you scared of? Just strap them boots up, put them boxing gloves on, so let's go. Hallelujah. Oh, man. Time is flying. All right. That's it. That's four. Yes, indeed. All right, old lines. That's it. See y'all next session. God bless.